Judges chapter 4 and reading from verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, and wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honour. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. And then verse 14. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. Two things at once spring to our attention in these opening verses of Judges chapter 4. First, the hearts of men and women are always prone to evil. When tempted, and we've seen it time and time again, when tempted, the children of Israel quickly fell into the idolatry of their neighbours. The second thing that is quickly seen is that God brings judgment on sin. And the lesson here for all of us, it doesn't matter whether this is in the days of the judges so long, long ago, or the time of Isaiah that we're thinking about at the moment, or the time of Christ, or in today's age. All men and women, boys and girls, will be judged because God in his holiness must judge sin. And he always will. For 20 years, God caused Jabin, king of Canaan, to mightily oppress the children of Israel. And I think from our past reading concerning the times of Joshua, so Joshua came after Moses, but before the time of the judges. And if we think back to the studies that we had in Joshua, how he crossed into the land of Canaan and how he was a general of God's armies, or the armies of Israel, and God led them, we discovered during those studies that actually this king and his city probably had been attacked and destroyed by Joshua. So here over the years, there had been a change of fortunes. And Israel, because of their sin, was now delivered into a resurgent king of Canaan, or at least one part of Canaan. And Jabin's cruelty was doubtless very severe on Israel for the defeat that his own father or grandfather, whoever it might have been, had suffered at the hand of Joshua. Israel, we learn, was dominated by the military strength of Jabin, who had 900 chariots. And these were chariots of iron, which perhaps means that they were built with swords attached to the framework of the chariot so that they could scythe through the infantry of the opposing enemy. They were fearsome constructions, and it meant that no one in the children of Israel, amongst the tribes of the children of Israel, was prepared to go against Jabin in battle. The spirit of the people, the spirit of the children of Israel, both because of the awesomeness, the fearsomeness of their enemy, and also because of the sin in their own consciences, the spirit of the people were crushed. And it seems that for a long time, they failed to ask the Lord for help. 20 years this lasted until they remembered and cried to the Lord. And then we meet Deborah. Deborah was an extraordinary woman. She served the people of Israel as a judge and as a prophetess. She was revered amongst the people, to whom the people came, to where she lived, to where she held, as it were, her council and her sessions, and she spoke and judged the people who visited her in that place where she was. And she is called a mother in Israel because she cared for the people in a motherly way. She provided for their care. She taught them and instructed them in the mind and will of God. She was honest. She was faithful when many had turned their back against the Lord. And she administered judgment and justice to protect and to defend the people of Israel. And as the nation's need grew, the Lord revealed to Deborah how he would intervene to throw off Jabin and the Canaanite rule over Israel, at least this part of Israel. And acting on that revelation, that information that the Lord had given to Deborah, she summoned Barak. Now, we don't really know anything about Barak again, except that he came from Kadesh and he came to take command at Deborah's request of 10,000 men of Zebulun and Naphtali, two tribes of Israel, and to lead them to Mount Tabor, where the army of Jabin, under the command of a man called Sisera, would be delivered into the hand of Balak and Israel. And Balak, we learn, was also a man of faith. He trusted the Lord, and he trusted Deborah, the Lord's servant. He was eager to hear, and he waited to hear the things that Deborah had to say from the Lord. And with Barak's help, Deborah organized the army. She gave the signal to attack when it was time for the Lord to deliver Sisera into Barak's hand, and the Hebrew army gained a great and decisive victory against their enemies. The Canaanite army was totally destroyed with all of their chariots. And in Judges chapter 5, we've been reading in Judges chapter 4, but in Judges chapter 5, we can read there the song of Deborah. And it is recorded there as a poem, perhaps, or as a song that would be remembered and repeated by the children of Israel, of how the Lord had delivered this Canaanite king into their hands and given them a great victory. There aren't too many songs in these early chapters of the Bible. Perhaps you'll remember Miriam's song as well, when the children of Israel were delivered from the Egyptian army. Well, here was Deborah performing the same kind of role as a prophetess in Israel. So she was both judge and prophetess, and she was a leader of the people, and she wrote down this song, which you can read at your leisure in Judges chapter 5. In that song, she gives an account of Israel's victory. She speaks of God's help, and she praises those tribes that took part, and also she criticizes those who did not come to the assistance of the army. The story of Deborah includes also the story of a lady called Jael, a Kenite woman, who slew Sisera with a tent peg as he slept in her tent after fleeing on foot from the battle. But that's a story for another day. That's what was in the verses that we skipped out in this chapter. It's Deborah, really, that I wanted to think about today, and it's her that we have in view. Her story shows how the Lord in mercy helps his people, even when they do not deserve his love and his care and support. I think it's notable that Deborah was able to attain such an influential position in Israel without incurring attention or suspicion from Jabin, the Canaanite king. And I did wonder if perhaps it was because she was a woman that she was underestimated by this brutal king, despite her being highly respected by the children of Israel who came up to her for judgment. And if there's a little bit of a lesson there, it's perhaps never underestimate a woman used of God. But it's always interesting to me to observe how the Lord uses means to accomplish his purpose. It seems very clear that there was supernatural, a supernatural element to the victory of Barak over the army of Sisera. The relative strengths seemed to be a real David and Goliath kind of contest. Deborah's song tells us in chapter 5, verse 20, they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. And some people have suggested, some writers have suggested, that that might mean that there was a great storm of hail or wind before the battle took place, or that angels fought for Israel, or perhaps that the superstitious Canaanites were afraid because they saw strange omens in the night sky before the battle. Whatever that little phrase means, the Lord stirred up Deborah and Barak and the courage of the tribes that fought Zebulun and Naphtali in order to throw off the shackles of their oppressor. And my point is simply this. God could have destroyed Sisera and his army by himself. He could have sent a plague, he could have sent a storm, he could have caused them to have been defeated by another army in another part of the country altogether, and there would have been no involvement of Deborah or Barak or the tribes of Israel. God could do any of those things. But God nevertheless uses his people to accomplish his will. He uses the circumstances and other means to bring about his purpose. Deborah and Barak, even Jael, this woman who killed Sisera, the lady with the tent peg, they all did their part, and by it the Lord obtained peace in Israel for 40 years. And maybe we don't think that the Lord could ever use us. Maybe our gift is also underestimated by those who seem strong and influential. But the ways of God are to use those who trust him to do work far beyond what they might first imagine they can do. The Lord told his disciples that by faith they would do great things. And I think that that is something that we should all remember. As we trust in the Lord, as we depend upon him, the Lord is pleased to use our testimony, use our witness, use the little that we have, the little that we bring to him to accomplish great things. This message that we preach, this Savior that we honor, this Jesus whom we follow is able to do great things with people like us. Deborah's gift was to listen to the word of the Lord and to trust what he said. She did what she could, and she enlisted the help of others to assist her, and she encouraged them in their task. And because it was the will of God, she succeeded. And in her song, she attributes all the glory to God. When the Lord has a job to be done, he raises up people to do that work. Sometimes it's a person of status. Sometimes it's a very humble person. Sometimes it's a strong leader. Sometimes it's a small child. Sometimes it's a man, and sometimes it's a woman. But when the Lord is in it, his cause will succeed. All of these judges were raised up by the Lord at a time when Israel needed help because of the terrible conditions due to their sin. Israel failed to remove the Canaanites from the land, and their toleration of these idolatrous people led to Israel's own downfall. Year after year, decade after decade, the people wandered far from God, and God's anger was against them. We noted right at the beginning of our reading that it was the Lord who sold Israel into the hand of Jabin as punishment for doing evil. Yet even when his people forgot God, God did not forget them. In this we see the patience and mercy of God. Let us always thank the Lord for his patience and his mercy. When we are wayward, when we are negligent, when we don't think about the Lord, by his grace and mercy he thinks about us. He raised up Deborah as a deliverer, and he fought for the people that he loved. Yes, there was discipline. Yes, there was correction. But he never forsook and he never failed. And ultimately, all the types and pictures these judges represent give way to the antitype or the fulfillment of the symbol when we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see him coming into the world to succeed where all others failed. He came to deliver his people finally and everlastingly from their sins. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, and now Deborah all served the Lord in their day. But the greatest deliverer and the most important lesson is that the Lord Jesus Christ is Saviour for sinners like us. He is the way of salvation. He brings reconciliation and he brings peace with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not simply win peace for 10 or 20 years. He gained for his people eternal life, eternal joy, and eternal peace in heaven. And this is what we receive when we trust him. Paul says of the Lord Jesus Christ in Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Deborah's story and Deborah's song is a story and a song of deliverance by God and of praise for God. And by God's grace, we too shall have such a story to tell and such a song to sing. May the Lord deliver us from our sin and place in our hearts a new song of gratitude and praise for salvation by Jesus Christ. Amen.